You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There is a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791. I'm talking real fast like Joe Biden did.
This is the podcast for the week of March 15th, 2024. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where we just don't care about TikTok. It's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal. A shameful admission, but it's true. We just don't.
And happy Pi Day, everybody. We are recording this on Pi Day.
Happy Pi Day, one and all.
Yeah. The TikTok fight, first of all, neither of us have TikTok. We know that it's a spammy, buggy.
We know what it is. I mean,
Chinese malware app.
We see the little snips showing up on YouTube and so forth.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I mean, the thing is, you can do what you do on TikTok just about anywhere. Yeah. The TikTok fight is just so far out of our control. It's a pissing match among billionaires and governments over algorithms and profits. And Steve Mnuchin is involved, which automatically turns me off. It might as well be happening on another planet, as far as I'm concerned. On the other hand, there is something happening here on this planet that doesn't have to do with algorithms, that's entirely domestic and easy to understand.
Yep.
Lead pipes that put water into homes that is poisoned with a neurotoxin. Mm-hmm. And the Biden administration has allocated real money to replace lead pipes. However, there are now 14 states, all Republican-dominated. You know they're the ones that didn't expand Medicaid. You know, it's that group. And they're fighting Biden's No Lead Pipe Initiative. This is Kris Kobach in Kansas saying, You know, the federal government shouldn't be telling the states what to do. And as many people have pointed out, Kansas has known about their lead pipe problem, as has every state, for 50 years. You know, for 25, 35, 40 years, right?
Yes.
They've had a long time to fix this.
Absolutely.
This takes money that states aren't willing to increase taxes, property taxes in particular. Local communities don't want to increase property taxes. State Republicans don't want to raise taxes on anybody. And so they're fighting whatever they have to pay into to replace lead pipes so that neurotoxins do not get into the brains of their citizens.
Their children.
And their children.
Yep.
And so we have reached the point. We talked about this last week on the Thursday show about the quiet part out loud not existing anymore. There's no quiet part. Republicans are now publicly out loud pro-rapist, pro-polio, pro-measles, and anti-lead pipe abatement. They're also anti-eating ice cream.
Which, look, as a man who cannot take a shamrock shake without laying down for 3 days in agony, I understand
it bothers
that.
Your insides, but you love it because it tastes so good.
But you know, premium ice cream, really good. And I don't get it. I mean, NASCAR, they hate NASCAR now. Country music is all, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, because Beyonce, who is from Texas, has a country song about Texas. And you can't have a black woman doing anything anywhere without opposing it.
Mm-hmm.
And now Trump is once again being a leader in this movement, Driftglass.
He's a leader.
By pledging to, quote, not give one penny to any school that has a vaccine mandate. Unquote, if he returns to the White House. And there is a measles outbreak in Florida.
Which are most states have some form of vaccine mandate to go to public school. Period.
My pediatrician told me that he had told a patient to leave his practice because she didn't want to have her kids vaccinated.
Right. Well, then go away.
Against tetanus.
Go to the woods and just
He said, I won't be your doctor. Bye.
Goddamn woke pediatrician.
Right. Woke pediatrician who said, what's going to happen is you're going to want me to treat your child for tetanus.
Well, this week was also the week that Katie Britt got real famous. Her epic faceplant almost drowned out Nancy Mace's epic faceplant, which was almost drowned out by soon-to-be former attorney Robert Herr getting wood-chippered by both sides during the final humiliating collapse of the Jim Jordan Biden age plot show trials. Oh, God, it was hard to watch. Senator Katie Britton, yes, she is a senator, got busted so hard for the string of breathless, teary lies she told in the Republican response to the State of the Union that she had literally no choice left, no place to run except to run a fundraiser about saving the children of America from the radical left. That's right, you and me, Blue Gal, you and me. First, to review, the very big lie Britt told was that she had spoken to a woman who, quote, had been sex trafficked by the cartels starting at age 12, unquote. Britt then went into graphic detail about the woman's plight, ending with, quote, we wouldn't be okay with this happening in a third world country. This is the United States of America, and it's past time we started acting like it. President Biden's border crisis is a disgrace. It's despicable, and it's almost entirely preventable. Unquote. I can't do her breathless, teary, weirdo, psycho thing.
No, but you know, there was a woman, and she was, I saw it on Twitter, but she was on TikTok talking directly to Katie Britt and saying, it is obvious that about 7 or 8 Republican men had you rehearsing this over and over again to the point where you didn't know how to act.
Yeah. Tommy Tuberville.
Yep. Yeah. Telling you, oh, be more angry, be more breathless, be more upset.
Yeah.
And we're going to plop you down in a kitchen.
Yeah, be more kitchen.
And be more kitchen. And all of them betrayed her. But she willingly did this. And
right,
now she's willingly fundraising.
That's the thing.
You know, it'd be one thing if she came out against them and said, look, I got taken for a ride by these Washington Hollywood types telling me how to behave. But
Some older boys maybe do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the very next day, independent journalist Jonathan M. Katz posted again to TikTok a lengthy video in which he took Britt's lies apart piece by piece. The woman in question had told this story many times, including before Congress. This is the victim of trafficking that Katie Britt was talking about. All of the trafficking that she was talking about occurred entirely within Mexico, not in the United States. Quote, these events didn't happen in the United States, Katz said. These crimes didn't take place in the United States or even near the border. They took place inside Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Unquote. Also, this is the part that just kills me. All of this happened during a time when Biden was not in the White House in any capacity. It took place between 2004 and 2008 when George W. Bush was president. What party is he in?
Mm-hmm.
The Republican Party.
Well, no, he's in the Uniparty, Blue Gal.
Oh, excuse me. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Please note that no national media outfit bothered to check Britt's story.
No.
It was a plucky, independent Jonathan Katz who took the trouble. Well, he probably remembered. I mean, from his work, he probably knew something's not right about this.
Yeah, but he doesn't know the rule.
And then he went and looked it up.
He doesn't know the rule, Blue Gal. But he doesn't know the rule.
The rule is?
No fair remembering stuff.
No fair remembering stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's work. We just want to get a transcript of what she said and both sides it.
Right.
Furthermore, the woman in question that Katie Britt purports to care so deeply about, her name is Carla Romero. And Britt's communications director confirmed that this woman was indeed the victim the senator referred to in her speech.
Mm-hmm.
Carla Romero personally ripped into Britt for using her experience and her trauma to make a political point. So apparently Britt never spoke to this woman, A, to find out that everything happened in Mexico under Bush. She might have found out if she cared so much.
So let's be clear. She's wrong, wrong, wrong. She lied. And she's busted.
Busted. And she clearly doesn't give a shit about the actual person who experienced this trauma.
No.
It's just like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Say Her Name bullshit at the State of the Union. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now on to Katie Britt's reaction to being called out. Or lie.
Mm-hmm.
But before we read it, let's give everyone an opportunity to grab a barf bag You might need one. Secondly, remember that Republican Christian nationalist dogma dictates that one never, ever, ever apologizes or admits being wrong for any reason under any circumstance, no matter how red-handed you are caught. Just lie harder and try to raise a buck from the chumps by playing the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a victim of the left if anyone calls you a liar. That's that.
My political opponents will use my lies against me.
Yeah, exactly.
And we found the text of her pathetic cash grab over at the Daily Beast. So this is largely a quote from the Daily Beast with a few things inserted by us. But you'll get the gist of it. Quote, after a State of the Union rebuttal that even some in her own party felt embarrassed by, Senator Katie Britt is trying to use that backlash to her advantage, writing a fundraising email Tuesday that her, quote, heart is broken for those she said she was speaking on behalf of. Quote, following my speech, here we go, the far-left media didn't waste a second flooding the airwaves with despicable, disgusting messages about me, her email read. They attacked my character, because your character is really bad.
Because you lied.
They even attacked my faith, because your faith sucks. You're not a Christian. You're an awful, awful perversion of that religion. They attacked my identity as a mother and a wife. No, they attacked your identity as a lying scumbag. They're two very different things. My wife is a wife and a mother, too. We would never do that. It's
no,
your personality.
I would never attack a woman for being a mom or being married.
No, that
doesn't even enter into it.
Anyway, Brent's stunted delivery earned mockery from The Daily Show, Saturday Night Live, and even the Oscars host Jimmy Kimmel. On Fox News, one host took a different view, insisting that Britt did a great job and was natural. But that wasn't enough to prevent her from writing that her heart is broken. Here we go. Strap in, kids. Quote, not for myself, but for my children. Your children, and the entire next generation of Americans. Why? Because I didn't prepare a 20-minute speech and stand up to Biden in front of millions of Americans for me.
Yes, you did.
You
were auditioning for Trump's running mate.
That is the only reason you did this. The only reason you did this. Yep. No, she says, I did it for them, for you, and for your children, friend. Because, you know, end with the word friend, so you know that she's your friend. So as I watch the dishonest leftist media, that'd be you and me, Blue Gal, and the liberal elites, we're striving to be elites, but we're not quite there yet, making a mockery of everything I've dedicated my entire life to protect, laughing at the destruction of the American dream, disrespecting how our country has descended into a dystopian nightmare for countless families, I'm disgusted. No, you're confusing it. You're disgusting. You're disgusting, not disgusted. See, she doesn't know how to do these complicated word things. And I know you are too, friend. So I'm counting on you to send a message with me. And after a few more invocations of the American dream, which she claimed was dying, she called upon her supporters to, quote, send a message to the radical left that we won't be laughed off. The email linked to Britt's campaign donation site on Win Red, where, as you know, 5-10% of her money will go to her pimp, which stated in similar terms her post-rebuttal comments, quote, the Democrats and their friends in the media are bashing me for calling them out on their failures, unquote.
None of that is true.
But, you know, she knows her voters. And she knows that they're basically, as we say here, reprogrammable meatbags. So I'm sure she'll raise some coin off of
this. I am telling you, I lived in Alabama. I would have been one of her constituents in another age. She, I am sure, hails from suburban Birmingham, where everybody sends their kids to white schools and has a white Cadillac Escalade in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the gated communities off 280. I know where you live, Katie. So let me tell you. But then after all that happened, Nancy Mace told the voices in her head to hold my beer. And she went on national television, not just defending a rapist, but embracing a rapist as her leader.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a civil rapist. That's a civil trial, not a criminal trial.
It doesn't count.
According to Republican dogma, the real villain here was George Stephanopoulos for asking her if she supported the rapist.
Mm-hmm.
This is from The Nation. Quote, South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace first came to national attention in 2019 when she opposed a state abortion ban that lacked exceptions for rape and incest. revealing that she had been raped at 16. For some of us who have been raped, it can take 25 years to get up the courage and talk about being a victim of rape. Remember that number. Uh-huh. It can take 25 years to get up the courage to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Mace was a state legislator, and she said, "My mother and my best friend in high school were the only people who knew mm-hmm. at the time that I had been raped." But there she was on Sunday morning attacking ABC's This Week host George Stephanopoulos for asking her how, given her own experience, she could support disgraced former President Donald Trump found liable in a civil trial for sexually assaulting writer E. Jean Carroll in a department store dressing room in the late 1990s. And he also defamed her after she revealed the attack almost 25 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Sounds like your analysis there is exactly correct, Katie.
Nancy. So Nancy, what Nancy's doing here is running exactly the same playbook as Britt and as every other degenerate Republican liar going back to like Spiro Agnew and tail gunner Joe McCarthy. Deny everything and attack your opponents like a mad dog. Or, as Illinois' own Carl Sandburg put it over 100 years ago, quote, "If the facts are against you, argue the law. If the law is against you, argue the facts. If the law and the facts are against you, pound the table and yell like hell." And honestly, pounding the table and yelling like hell is all Republicans have left. That is the definition of their party and their policy agenda.
So after Nancy Mace said, "Hold my beer," to Katie Britt, South Carolina Governor Kristi Noem said, "Hold all my beers." All the beers everywhere. And she posted an unbelievable video to her socials. If you had told me this was made up and this is AI and it's brilliant AI, and I would have believed you.
Yeah.
Let me show you this AI of Kristi Noem doing this. Now, was she touting her policies in this video or building up her conservative cred, even praying to white Jesus for more tax cuts would have been believable given her party, right? I'm here to talk to you about Jesus and the tax burden. I could hear her doing that.
And the radical left.
It would make sense, given her party.
Don't forget the radical left, Blue Gal.
And the radical left. She'd have to include an attack on the radical left. Okay. No. She literally did a 5-minute infomercial for her cosmetic dentist.
Well, hi, I'm Kristi Noem. I'm the governor of South Dakota and had the opportunity to come to Smile, Texas to fix my teeth, which has been absolutely amazing, but could never quite find the time. And recently got the chance to work with Dr. Davis. Dr. Dooley's always been fantastic to me too, but the team here was remarkable and finally gave me a smile that I can be proud of. I'll be eternally grateful. It has been a gift to be here at Smile, Texas.
Now, this cosmetic dentist who did Kristi Noem's veneers and replacement teeth, he doesn't practice in South Dakota, where she is governor. He practices in Sugar Land, Texas. Now, I went and Googled cosmetic dentistry South Dakota to see if it was just there are none there.
Right.
Googling cosmetic dentistry South Dakota yields 2,940,000 results. I'm not saying all of those are dentists, but there's got to be one or two in 2,940,000 hits.
That isn't on the other end of the continent.
No, it's in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Twitter wants to know if she got free veneers for doing the video, or if she's simply auditioning in the absolute best possible way for Trump's VP slot, which all these women are, by the way.
Let's be clear about that, right?
Yeah. But here, Kristi Noem went full apprentice and made an infomercial, right? Mm-hmm. Now, her dentist claims that revealing if she got paid to do the advertisement would be a HIPAA violation. The HIPAA violation comes from revealing that she's a patient. And Kristi Noem already said in the 5-minute ad that she got her teeth from you, Mr. Dentist person. This dentist is confusing HIPAA with the NDA he signed with Kristi Noem.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, Driftglass, I'm serious. Doing an infomercial and having an NDA with your dentist is so on brand for anyone in the Trump inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
that I think it's a perfect audition for being Trump's running mate. I think she absolutely flattened Katie Britt and Nancy Mace with that.
Well, and she's a hot lady who's willing to willing to crawl through, you know, broken glass and humiliate herself for the orange guy.
Well, and so, you know, people have pointed out, and I'm not one to talk about women's personal appearances, but the transformation from when she was first elected governor, when she did look like a housewife, and she ran as a housewife, to the extensions, the cheek implants, the frosted eyeshadow. She is doing all of the, you know, Palm Beach high-end cosmetologist stuff to look like the kind of quote-unquote model that prances around Mar-a-Lago.
Well,
she's getting the Mar-a-Lago look.
And all of that aside, this does bring us at last to the spluttering, disgraceful final act of Jim Jordan's Biden is Old puppet theater. Yet another bombshell witness fizzled out and collapsed into a puddle of their own flop sweat. This would be soon-to-be Newsmax legal analyst Robert Herr.
Probably true, I gotta say.
Yeah, that's his next move, right?
Yeah.
Getting spit-roasted by Democrats for lying about Joe Biden and by Republicans for failing to lie more effectively about Joe Biden. Because between the time when Herr chose to summarize his interviews with Biden in the Bill Barr style, peppered with freelance bullshit medical observations, and the time he was actually called to testify, Democrats managed to force her to release the transcripts of what actually took place during Biden's testimony. And then they read them. Mm-hmm. And to quote George Takei,
oh my.
The HERS summary didn't just bear scant relation to Biden's actual testimony. In many cases, it was the exact opposite. In addition to which, he got stripped and spanked, again, by both sides. Republican Scott Fitzgerald likely thought he was being clever when he tried to get Robert Herr to say on the record that President Biden was senile, because that's what they were there to do, to get him to say that S word. He went so far as, believe it or not, reading the definition of senile from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary and asking her if he concluded in his final report that Joe Biden was senile. That conclusion does not appear in my report, Herr admitted. And because the transcript was right there, and therefore Herr could not give the Republicans any of that sweet, sweet MAGA QAnon conspiracy junk that they've been promised, they turned on him.
Yep. And I do want to point out that one Democrat really took issue with the senile word, because he said, I have a great many senior citizen constituents. Some of them have memory issues.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're senile.
Oh, and we should also mention that we're going to talk about a few of the Democratic responses. They were all excellent. Jerry Nadler did a great job. They all did a great job. But we're just going to give you a little sample.
This is why you have the transcript released as quickly as possible. They did that with the Hunter Biden deposition. Mm-hmm. They insisted before the deposition happened that the transcript would be released within hours after the deposition was over.
Damn it, they're onto
us. Because the purpose of these things is to lie.
Right, clearly.
So Representative Tom Tiffany, Republican of Wisconsin, said to her, so I want to thank you for the work that you did as far as you could, but unfortunately, you are part of the Praetorian Guard that guards the swamp out here in Washington, D.C.
That's right.
Protecting the elites, said the congressman sitting on the committee in the Rayburn House building, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And Joe Biden is part of that company of the elites.
Yeah.
Says Representative Tom Tiffany. Tiffany. On the other side of the aisle, like Dricklaw said, Democrats were well prepared and having a fine old time playing handball with HERS disintegrating reputation. Eric Swalwell actually played a supercut of Donald Gaffe's and incoherent statements on live television. Later, he asked HERS to pledge not to serve in a second Trump administration, given how manifestly and criminally unfit Trump is to hold that office. And HERR just melted at that point. Refused to answer, wouldn't speculate on his future.
I'm not here for that.
There he was auditioning again for a position in the Trump DOJ.
Yeah.
Adam Schiff was most effective when he said it defied belief that HERR didn't know what he was doing when he released a primer on the report. It's the inaccurate four-page summary.
Yeah.
Right?
The
that
bar.
Bill Barr
the
bar. Did. You're Bill Barring it. Yes. Yeah. Quote, this is Adam Schiff. You cannot tell me you're so naive as to think your words would not have created a political firestorm. You were not born yesterday. You understood exactly what you were doing, unquote.
Yeah. And that's a no-win box. I mean,
yeah.
When you basically say, you can't really be this stupid, right?
Yeah.
You're not really this stupid. What do you answer? Yes, I am. I'm a moron. You just sit there quietly and watch the clock and pray to be released. And remember, it was only because the transcript became public record before the hearing that you could see the mainstream media scampering down the rat lines to get away from this disaster. Only after, as Keith Olbermann noted, they rode this non-story as far as they could. After 17 Biden is demented stories, this is the Wall Street Journal. A president, quote, not stumped on basic factual questions, unquote. After 30 Biden is unfit stories in the New York Times, Biden, quote, fumbled with dates in the sequence of events while otherwise appearing clear-headed, unquote. After 33 Biden is in trouble, Biden is troubled stories, the Washington Post, Biden, quote, doesn't come across as being as absent-minded as her has made out to be, unquote. And finally, the Associated Press, quote, the full transcript could raise questions about her's depiction of the 81-year-old president as having, quote, significant limitations, unquote. You think? So the question is, why? Why do Republicans keep doing this? We all understand that they've been reduced to throwing spaghetti against the wall and just seeing what sticks. That's all they have.
No, Jeff Glass, it's that they don't have the will.
That's
to
right.
Impeach Biden.
If you had the will to do it, you could do it. And it really is that. Come on. And they've been promising their moron base that just around the next corner,
The Biden crime family is
Biden
going to be
crimes,
exposed.
The most criminal president in history. The worst.
Yeah.
And it's the pile of evidence is just a mile. It blots out the sun, Blue Gal.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they keep turning corner after corner after corner and humiliating themselves over and over again. So how is it that all the spaghetti they throw is so stupid? That's the question. Well, it's partly because they're all stupid. Stupid people elected stupid representatives to represent them stupidly. They're stupid and they're very lazy. They don't do any prep work. Clearly, they don't do any prep work. They don't prep their witnesses. They're just lazy and dumb because they know their constituents are lazy and dumb. But they're also kind of cunning in a very feral way because they know all they're doing, all they exist to do is generate content for Fox News and Newsmax. So any usable clip that can be retrieved from a 9-hour garbage pile, well, that'll do, right? That's sufficient. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They also know that they have a staunch ally in the both-siderist mainstream media. They're dependent on the fact that no matter how badly they shit the bed, some credentialed mainstream journalist will jump in with one of their hot, but the Democrats, but her emails takes to save them.
And when Biden made a joke about how hot his wife is in a bathing suit.
Yes.
During the deposition. And it was just a joke and ha-ha. And I think my wife's attractive.
Right. And he does. He loves her.
You know,
he's crazy about her.
He's crazy about her. I heard that and I said, oh, Newsmax is going to jump on that.
And they did.
And they did. Yeah. You turn on Newsmax that night as we do our steeplechase, and that was the chyron. Joe Biden sexualizes his wife.
Yeah.
Something to that effect. Just absurd. But it wasn't quite as absurd as NBC's News and Justice correspondent Ken Delanian, who entered the chat. Ken Delanian, come on down.
Yeah, yeah. Did his job.
Quote, the Robert Hur hearing is a perfect example of what American politics has become. A career public servant. Spends a year reaching conclusions that are inconvenient for partisans of each party. So they set about questioning his motives and ethics on national television.
Naughty bad extremes,
unquote.
On both sides. Mm-hmm.
However, since this was a tweet, there followed this correction. Reader added context. You, under the tweet, quote, Robert Hur is not a career public servant. Hur's DOJ service was principally as U.S. Attorney for the District of Maryland, which is a 4-year political appointment, subject to Senate confirmation. In addition, for substantial periods of his career, Hur has been in private practice. Unquote. And it's clear he's gunning for a job in the Trump DOJ or in the Trump White House as a legal analyst. No, he is not a career public servant. And so Delanian got shredded, and rightly so. And he was on today following the Trump trial in Florida.
Yeah.
And hoping that no one remembered his name.
Because no fair remembering stuff.
No,
it's
fair,
not fair remembering what I did yesterday.
It's going to go right down the memory hole.
Absolutely.
But both, you know, sided this. Yeah.
Being who he is in this debacle of his own making, he could not back down. He could not stop digging. So he went to an anonymous source, quote, the top career official at the Justice Department found that HERS language was appropriate and, quote, neither gratuitous nor unduly prejudicial, because it's not offered to criticize or demean the president. Rather, it is offered to explain Special Counsel HERS conclusions, unquote. Now, Ken Delanian spent months pushing a story which has now been definitively debunked. It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. And in response, what he tried to do was change the subject and deflect blame and get angry and pissy. And because he could not just back off and move on, all the people who have receipts on Mr. Delanian began showing up and running down his priors. And that was one of the more amusing aspects of this story. Like, well, if you're going to keep talking about this shit, let's review. Like the Beachwood Reporter. I love the Beachwood Reporter. They're from Chicago. Quote, Ken Delanian used to let the CIA read his reports before publication.
Oh, my God.
He's still employed and highly compensated. Hashtag journalism, unquote. And our friend Marcy Wheeler, Empty Wheel, quote, breaking, Ken Delanian claims he doesn't know that Rob Hur deprived Andy McCabe of his due process, unquote. But Ken Delanian put the cherry on top of this reeking mess of his own creation by going on MSNBC to say that if his coverage gets, quote, both sides, unquote, upset, then he must be doing his job. Yay!
The Chuck Todd excuse. Everybody hates me, so I must be doing my job.
And before that, it was the David Gregory excuse.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's always been these assholes' excuse. Well, if I piss off both sides, I must be doing something, right?
Yeah, you're covering for Republicans. That's what you're doing. And you know it. Now, that may have been the biggest meta story this week, but it really was a big week this week for both siderism.
It's getting to be every week. Every week is being a big week for both
sides.
Well,
and because the Republicans are shitting the bed so badly. So what's the retreat is
always
both sides. And we didn't put this in our notes, but there is a New York Times article of a panel of 10 Trump voters. And most of them were white. Most of them were male. And these were 10 Trump voters who were, say they are not going to vote for Trump this time. And I see a lot of that happening. There's a whole movement now to advertise, to give Trump voters permission to leave him, right? Which is one angle. And if it gives them a sense of belonging, you know, I'm never surprised by the ability of the media to give bad actors who are white and privileged an out for their bad behavior.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's what's going on here.
This was also not in our notes. It just cropped up a little bit ago. You know who Joe Walsh is, right, Blue Gal?
Yeah.
Joe Walsh, former Illinois congressman, one-term Illinois congressman, right-wing, bomb-throwing, Tea Party, loudmouth, deadbeat asshole.
Yeah, same thing.
Every response to any liberal saying anything out of line, like not voting for Trump, was grab your muskets and let's go to the barricades. That's why we know him as Joey Muscats. Well, Joey Muscats apparently got disenchanted with Donald Trump around 2018 or 19 and flipped and became, I can't believe this asshole. Let's all get it. And he ran against him in 2020. It was an embarrassing failure. But he has really cultivated this image of, you know, I used to be a bad man in a bad group and I was one of the divisive people. But now I'm on CNN and now I'm saying things that liberals like. So I have my own podcast now and I have a CNN contract now. And now I'm this other guy. And that's why I'm credible, because I understand the Trump world and I understand, you know, how wrong it was. But today he decided to bust out with this, and I'm reading it verbatim. Joe Walsh from today: America is dangerously divided. Way too many Americans view their political opponents as their mortal enemies. Most Americans live in their own bubbles. This is not just on the right. This is across the political spectrum. And he just...
took full credit yesterday for convincing a Trump voter friend of his, a friend, quote unquote, to leave Trump by just planting the seed over several years.
He has
all
many,
of a sudden his
many,
friend can't take it anymore.
He has many, many imaginary Trump friends and people. He has said, I talk to thousands of Trump voters every day. which is logistically impossible. So he's kind of a liar and a loudmouth, but now he's crawled back to where they all end up going. Back to both sides to a bunker.
And
it's safe.
I didn't finish about this New York Times panel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
That we read it, and it is interviews, you know, questions to all of these 10 people.
Uh-huh.
And it comes out both sides. I'm a constitutional conservative independent. I'm an independent.
I'm an independent. Yep.
You know, I never liked the tweeting.
Oh, don't like the tweeting.
Comes up.
No.
You know, I think he's gone a little too far.
Mm-hmm.
And but none of them said they were going to vote for Biden.
Right.
None. So getting back to the both-siderism of this week and the swamp of both-siderism, there was a really good video that Hal Sparks did watching Lauren Boebert. And she is not auditioning to be Trump's running mate.
No.
She's trying to run to keep her seat in Congress.
A seat, yeah.
She is auditioning for a spot on The Five on Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
She said, quote, Ken Buck's announcement yesterday was a gift to the Uniparty.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The establishment concocted a swampy backroom deal to try to rig an election. I'm winning by 25 points. Which is real delusion there.
Yeah, well, you know.
Over at the Dispatch, unreconstructed Iraq war huckster Stephen Hayes has written a long and thoroughly perverse attempt to perform CPR on the rotting corpse of the both sides do it lie. And you can tell Driftglass wrote that sentence.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
You see, both Biden and Trump are equally terrible choices.
That's the problem. They're both equally bad, Blue Gal.
In case you are unfamiliar, Hayes is one of the many, many Bush regime stooges in the media whose careers should have died once the debacle in Iraq could no longer be covered up. And the Bush administration effectively collapsed. He should have gone away.
He should be spending the rest of his years like they all did at Bethesda Naval Hospital swabbing out bedpans.
Yeah.
And serving the wounded that he shoveled into that meat grinder. Yep. But, and I wrote a whole post about Stephen Hayes this week about he's one of those guys who was always wrong and will never lose his job. In 2004, Gideon Rose, editor of Foreign Affairs, described Hayes as the most indefatigable proponent of the Iraq Al-Qaeda link outside the George W. Bush administration. In 2008, Spencer Ackerman characterized Hayes as one of the most effective amplifiers of the Bush administration's Iraq war claims, I would say lies.
About
an Iraq Al-Qaeda link. But as with all other conservative propagandists who suddenly found themselves very much on the wrong side of history, nothing happened. Nothing. Mm-hmm. There's no accountability for these people ever. All the Bush administration's most ardent flacks and liars and hacks, all of their mainstream media collaborators to boot, just shrugged it all off and moved on to the next thing. And for Mr. Stephen Hayes, the next thing was the New York Post and the Washington Times and Salon and National Review and Reason Magazine. And he's been a commentator on CNN and the McLaughlin Group and Fox News Channel and MSNBC and CNBC and C-SPAN. He took over the Weekly Standard for a minute after Bill Kristol quit. That was until the Trump people killed it. Then he lingered way too long at Fox News for anyone with any sense of decency. And then since the Wingnut welfare trough never goes dry, there's always funding available for these goofs to start their next thing. And he, along with Jonah Goldberg and Toby Stock, formed the conservative media company, The Dispatch. Hayes has also been hired by CNBC as, quote, a contributor across all our platforms.
So congratulations, or MSNBC?
MSNBC. I apologize. MSNBC. So congratulations. The liberal MSNBC now employs more out-of-work Bush regime douchebags than any other network in America.
That's true.
And liberal voices, good luck finding any actual literal liberals from the before time who remember who these people were and are.
Yeah.
And now that he's been rehabilitated into a respectable Beltway stalwart, of course he's going to write a long, whining essay on our terrible, terrible choices.
And that's this week.
That's this week.
He has an article about how terrible it is to have both Trump and Biden.
Equally bad. Both equally bad. Both equally terrible. Our terrible choices.
And then there's this. This is an op-ed by Adam Nagorny and Shane Goldmacher in the New York Times for which I'll bet both of them got an attaboy from, you know, the owners of the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
March 9th, the Biden-Trump rerun, a nation craving change gets more of the same.
Oh, poor us. Poor us.
Americans love a candidate who promises something new, but when a sitting president runs against a former one, can either claim the mantle of change,
mm-hmm.
unquote. And it just so happened that the day this cringy New York Times op-ed dropped was the 13th anniversary of the day that the dean of the Washington Press Corps and the granddaddy of both sides do it hackery, David Broder, passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, Driftglass, mm-hmm. we have a mug, a coffee mug in our house.
Yes, we do.
And emblazoned with one of David Broder's most famous and popular phrases, vituperative foul-mouthed bloggers of the left.
Yeah, he hated us. He hated us. Yes, he did.
But that was stated in a both sides situation with
that's right.
Bush regime dead-enders, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was both the, you know, the people on the right and the vituperative foul-mouthed bloggers of the left at the mm-hmm. same time.
Yep.
David Broder's real legacy is the Beltway media fetish for both siderist reporting that blogger Boo Man, a.k.a. Martin Longman, coined as high Broderism back in 2006.
Wait a minute. You mean before Trump this was going on, Blue
Cow? 10 years before Trump ran for president.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
That's breaking news right there.
Hi, this is Boo Man writing about high Broderism. High Broderism is a school of thought best exemplified by Washington Post reporter David Broder, that Washington, D.C. elites should provide the common wisdom to the ragged masses beyond the Beltway. Moreover, high Broderism believes that the only acceptable politics is centrism. It's not so much where the center is at any given time, it's the centrism itself. Therefore, politicians who occasionally buck their own party, like Joe Lieberman and John McCain, reside on the Mount Olympus of high Broderism. In this view, it is more virtuous of Lieberman to buck the winds of his party and support President Bush on Iraq than it is odious for him to be wrong on the issue. The point is, he crossed over party lines.
To be wrong. Yeah. But he's a maverick. That makes him a maverick.
He's a maverick. And that's centrism. Yeah. And that's good. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Post obituary begins as follows, quote, David Broder, 81, dies, set gold standard for political journalism,
mm-hmm.
unquote. Fun fact, no, he didn't.
No. Well, in a way he did. I mean, as long right. as you're talking about the gold standard of being a terrible, terrible centrist
well, it's,
act.
Well, it's the Bible by which Ken Delanian lives and breathes,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that response to his passing was pretty standard. There was a Mount Olympus of Beltway political reportage, and Broder sat on its highest throne. To contradict Beltway wisdom was the blackest of heresies.
Yeah, you didn't want to go around calling people like David Broder, you know, a hack or wrong. And just because you mentioned Lieberman and McCain, I will point out that this is right around the time that David Brooks pitched a hissy fit and demanded a third party mm-hmm. that would be run by Joe Lieberman and John McCain because the extremes on both sides, Blue Gal. And that was because Joe Lieberman lost a fucking primary. Joe Lieberman yeah. lost a primary and David Brooks lost his fucking mind.
Yep.
And started screaming about Tom DeLay on the right and the Netroots delays on the left because that's the Bible by which they operated. And if you said a word against it, it was the blackest of heresies. You were in permanent media exile. And yet, we in the liberal blogosphere contradicted the gods of the Beltway Mount Olympus in public every day, week after week, year after year. So when I hear, frankly, a never-Trumper whining that quitting the fascist party meant having to give up their sweet gig on Fox News and hate radio and having to settle for a sweet gig on MSNBC and a lucrative book deal, well, you know, cry me a fucking river. Isn't that a shame? Anyway, this is, in part, what I wrote all the way back in 2011 about the state of the media. I was digging around in my archives and noticed that all this both sides stuff was coming almost exactly on the same day David Broder died 13 years ago.
Well, and it was when the Bush administration was dying too. I mean, the whole belief
mm-hmm.
that the Iraq war was winnable and the economy was great. 2006 was like the top of the slide, man.
Yeah.
And they were done.
They were done. After that, we're done. And so I wrote this back during the before time, long before Trump ever showed up. Mm-hmm. And you be the judge. You out there in the listener universe, you be the judge of how well it has stood the test of time and how well we liberals spotted the problem with the media long before anybody else noticed it. Quote, this is me from 2011. While there were many, many things David Broder loved, centrism, politics, bipartisanship, equidistancehood, divarication, one thing he really hated was hippies. Those damn dirty, disrespectful fucking hippies. He especially hated those fucking imaginary hippies. They were the sawdust and breadcrumb filler he kept heaping into his increasingly inedible journalistic meatloaf. The thumb he pressed down ever harder on the scales of his funny little rambles about America during his declining years, which encompassed all of the 21st century and a big chunk of the end of the 20th, to artificially balance out the clear and horrifying fact that the party of Lincoln and Eisenhower that he had known as a barefoot lad growing up in the swampland of Chicago Heights was devolving into a billionaire, industrialist-funded mob of fundies, racists, imbeciles, and sociopaths. In fact, this fetish became so obsessive that in the end, it became the great tragic irony of David Broder's professional life, because at last, he simply could not bear to part with his fantasies about what he wished America to be and face the brutal realities of what America was actually becoming. David Broder, this dean of the Washington Press Corps, totally missed out on covering the greatest story of his time, the utter collapse of the American news media, and the mutation of the GOP from a political party into a dangerous, fascist cesspit of oligarchs, lunatics, and rubes. It was the story which his background and years of hard work had almost uniquely prepared him to cover, and one that was literally staring him right in the face for much of the last 20 years. And he completely fucking blew it. And that is the definition of tragedy, unquote.
And this was your eulogy for David Broder.
It was.
And it came out the week he died.
It was a tragedy. I remember
this getting a lot of attention because you were the one who spent some time with his work.
Yes,
instead of simply calling him the gold standard of journalism.
Yeah.
And everyone in D.C. knew him and respected him and blah, 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 in the circle jerk of the Beltway cocktail party.
Well, and I'll add one thing. This got a little more readership than usual because James Walcott at Vanity Fair linked to it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
said, okay, Vanity Fair readers, this Drift Glass guy has written something very important. You should go read it. And I really appreciated that from Mr. Walcott.
Yeah. I knew you got linked by somebody and you were the one that wrote the true tragedy of his death.
It was.
And his life.
I wasn't happy. I wasn't dancing on his grave.
No.
For God's sakes.
You weren't shitting on his grave. You were saying he had an opportunity.
He had a great opportunity. You say this all the time
and
about Joe Scarborough.
I do.
You
know? That if Scarborough would wrote an utterly true book about his relationship with Trump over the years.
Yeah. It would be.
We would understand Donald Trump better than we do now.
Right.
And no one else can write that book but Joe Scarborough.
But he has
but
to
he
lie
won't.
About it.
He won't. His ego won't let him do it.
Well, and he has to pretend that he's always been against Donald Trump and I never supported
him.
And
instead of saying, I was a good friend of his. I took my kids to Mar-a-Lago in Christmas of 2014, 2015.
Right.
And, you know, he may have been a member there or just had guest tickets. I don't know what he had. But, you know, he is a Florida Republican who was very familiar with Donald Trump and Mar-a-Lago and that circle. And then he treated Trump like a buddy. And a ratings get,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the air now, phoning into to Morning Joe. It's Donald Trump.
He coached him on a schedule. He coached him on his first speech.
He
rode over with him.
Yeah.
And he was in the audience, in the congressional audience for his first speech.
Yeah.
And once Trump, you know, went completely off the rails, which was immediately, Scarborough didn't say, man, I made a fucking mistake. I made a terrible mistake. Yeah. I remember him and Bill Kristol getting into a slap fight.
Sure.
On his show over who was to blame for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Kristol broke the rule and said, well, you had him on all the time.
Yeah.
And that was not going to stand because here's the thing. And this is what a point we drive home all the time. When you control the cameras and you control the microphones, you control history, not just the story. You control the past. That's how people like Matthew Dowd can just wipe their past away. Because as far as anyone on camera knows, who's watching him, he's always been this, you know, both sides do it as garbage guy.
Yeah.
And he never was. So, you know, when we talk about the media's complicity in this, they're the ones who have been memory holding important facts that are embarrassing to them for decades.
Right. And it's not as if David Broder couldn't string a sentence together or that Joe Scarborough couldn't write a good book.
No.
These guys are not unintelligent.
No.
But their egos or their, you know, vanity or whatever it is that, you know, they're having all those friends in the Beltway, whatever it is, prevents them from telling the truth.
Well,
it's very sad.
I think there's a linkage really between, believe it or not, those two guys and a lot of other people and the Republican base.
Yeah.
How can you admit to yourself that you've been this wrong about this important thing that's really central to your life for so long?
For decades, yeah.
How do you admit that you're a complete fraud, that you fucked up this badly,
mm-hmm.
you got everything wrong in the one area you're supposed to be expert?
Right.
And they couldn't do it. Their egos would be destroyed.
And then there's a whole structure of people and money making sure you don't.
That's
making
right.
sure you always have an out, making
that's
sure
right.
you can always rebrand. Yeah. I mean, and I think people are right. What this rebranding is going to be Matt Gaetz.
Yep.
That's what it's going to be. They're going to rebrand as the Matt Gaetz Party.
Sorry. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, Driftglass, do you remember a guy named Mitt Romney?
I do. I wrote a lot about him a few years ago.
He was the Never Trumpers Once Upon a Time Great White Hope, literally.
I remember that guy.
He took time out of his busy schedule to remind us all what an absolutely hollow husk of a man he really is. He said, quote, "In a good way, the delivery was over the top, out of character. Biden's, of course. Katie Britt's, too. The media overreaction to hers, not his, tells us who liberals most fear as the VP nominee."
Oh, please.
I'm begging you, Republicans, to pick Katie Britt.
Katie Britt's so sweet.
Donald, if you're listening, she'd be the greatest VP.
Yeah.
She'd increase your votes. She'd make you look good.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
and,
please. I beg you. I beg you, Republican Party. Katie Britt is your woman. Yeah.
And finally, as you all know, probably most of you know, Jimmy Kimmel got a hot mid-broadcast performance evaluation about his hosting of the Oscars from guess who?
I just got a review and... Has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, George Sloppenopoulos. He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Blah, blah, blah. Make America great again. Okay, now. See if you can guess which former president just posted that on Truth Social. Anyone? No? Well, thank you, President Trump. Thank you for watching. I'm surprised you're still watching. Isn't it past your jail time?
On that note, let's do a news roundup, Blue Gal.
The President Biden continues. The Trump annexation of the RNC, Driftglass, is lit.
Yeah, not going to be anymore. It is lit.
It is lit.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican National Committee voted to install a new leadership team that was handpicked by Trump, completing his takeover of the National Party. Michael Whatley, a North Carolina Republican and supporter of Trump's baseless claims of voter fraud in the 2020 presidential election, was elected the party's new national chairman. Mm-hmm. And Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, was voted in as co-chair. This is her first real job. The newly installed leadership team began the process of sacking dozens of staffers and other officials. Trump has also moved the finance and digital teams of the RNC to Palm Beach, Florida.
Got to be near the money.
Yeah. The email fundraisers and the treasury are in Palm Beach now.
And I have heard this takeover being referred to as a hostile takeover in many places by many people who know better. Kids, let me remind you one thing. If you toss the car keys to someone and ask them to drive, it's not a hostile takeover. You're asking them to do it. The Republican Party is begging Donald Trump to take over their party. So quit with this, like, we're struggling against it, we're really fighting against it, and it was hostile. It's not. Now, after the Trump takeover, the RNC began backtracking on its plans to open 40 new outreach centers in Latino, Black, Asian American, Native American, Jewish, and veteran communities in key battleground states. This is the headline from Raw Story. RNC slashes budget for minority outreach after MAGA takeover. Oddsmakers are wondering aloud if he moves this July's convention to Doral Golf Course in New Jersey. That last part is not the headline from Raw Story. That is my wife's commentary, which with I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
It's in Wisconsin. How does that pay Trump?
Yeah.
And I'm serious. Something like that's going to happen. And you and I are going to go, we weren't kidding when we said that.
Well, yeah. you've seen what Laura Trump barking or somebody barking about using taxpayer money to do politics over the State of the Union address.
Yeah.
You mean
yeah.
the guy who held the convention at the White House?
Yep.
His political convention at, you mean
at
that
the White
guy?
House. At well, the White House.
Again, no fair remembering stuff, Lou Gal. Yeah. No fair remembering stuff.
From Elise Stefanik, I am proud to announce that I secured $1,857,000 for a water district development project for the town of Messina. In this year's appropriations process, the funding will go toward providing public water service to the residents of Messina. Hashtag results. Hashtag New York 21. One missing detail, she voted against it.
That's right. And believe me, the Biden message people are not letting people forget.
No.
They're very much on top of this. If you're ignoring this, if someone doesn't notice this, it's not because Democrats are bad messaging at best. It's because those people are getting all of their news from corrupted sources like, you know, Fox and Newsmax. Mm-hmm. Speaking of people who've had enough, Ken Buck is quitting Congress. And I mean, like tomorrow, mm-hmm. he's walking out, he's done. And filling his seat requires a special election, which screws, and not in a nice way that you might think it does, Lauren Boebert.
It doesn't screw Lauren Boebert in the way she'd like it.
No.
The House overwhelmingly passed a bill to force TikTok's Chinese owner to sell the app or face a U.S. ban, with both parties saying it threatens national security, despite the company's efforts to wall off U.S. data. And as I said, Steve Mnuchin seems to be interested in using Saudi money mm-hmm. to buy it.
Yeah.
Honest to God.
As I said on some social media platform earlier today from Casper Gutman, since we did a whole thing on the Maltese Falcon just a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. you know, most people know the Holy Wars is mostly about loot. This mm-hmm. is about yeah. money. This is about yep. money, nothing else. Yep. Biden and Trump both won enough votes in their respective primaries to be their party's nominees in the 2024 election. This begins the oh shit reevaluation by people who said, ah, it'll never happen. But the Republicans aren't going to renominate Trump. Democrats aren't going to renominate. There's a staggering number of people who swore this would never happen in their own minds and hearts because they didn't want to have to make a decision like this. And now they do. So welcome to the 2024 election.
Meanwhile, Nikki Haley got 13% of the primary vote in Georgia after she dropped out of the race. And I have a little more detail about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
13% is significant. Double digits. Mm-hmm. When she's out of the race, mm-hmm. that people left their homes. And these were same day votes, too, a lot of
right.
them.
Right.
She got 77,000 votes in Georgia after dropping out. Mm-hmm. And in Fulton and DeKalb counties, which are suburban Atlanta, she received almost 40% of the vote. These are better educated, affluent areas that Trump will need to beat Joe Biden. It's important to remember also that Donald Trump lost Georgia in 2020 by fewer than 12,000 votes.
Yep.
Nikki Haley got 62,135 votes mm-hmm. in Georgia.
Well, I'm still waiting to see what she has to say to her voters.
Yeah, well, she's just told them that Donald Trump has to earn your vote.
Right.
Which she knows he's not going to do.
Oh, of course not. But
when you've got 15% of your party statewide and 40% of your party in the suburbs of the largest city in the state, coming out to protest vote your candidacy, mm-hmm. you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
The only way they can pull this off is to disenfranchise voters, which is that's absolutely the tactic they're taking.
And that's going on right now.
Yep.
Speaking of positive numbers, believe it or not, 63% of respondents blamed recent price increases on, quote, large corporations taking advantage of inflation. This is up from 54% in November. This is, I believe, good news for Joe Biden because he can point to and say, look, I'm doing everything I can. These corporations are screwing you because they know they can. Mm-hmm. And that puts the pressure on them and not him. unless they want to nationalize those companies, which, you know, some of them I wouldn't feel so bad about. But, you know, it does direct the blame where it belongs, which is not on Biden policies, but on corporate greed.
I was grateful to see some woman complaining about home insurance rate, and she's a Floridian, on Twitter. And hundreds of people came out to say, number one, we all know you live in Florida. Number two, if you think Biden is setting your homeowner's insurance, go talk to the state regulator.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to all those climate change deniers who run your state.
That's right.
The Biden administration announced a $300 million weapons package for Ukraine. The aid will be drawn from existing U.S. stockpiles and is meant as a stopgap measure to address Ukraine's need for ammunition and air defense systems amid Russia's ongoing attacks. And this is what I said he should do.
Right.
Which is just diminish our stockpiles.
Right.
And then tell Republicans, look, we have nothing here to defend America. And by the way, they're all built in your districts. So do you want money to rebuild those things or not?
Well, and I want to add to that the fact that this is equipment, the stockpiles of U.S. equipment and arms. These are not the pallet trucks of hundreds of millions of dollars that George Bush flew into the Iraqi desert that just fucking disappeared.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That's something for a different day. Yeah.
Yeah. Republicans continue to block a $60.1 billion Ukraine aid bill, with the U.S. having exhausted its assistance to Ukraine since the last package in December 2022.
Donald Trump may not have sufficient liquid assets to cover the full $464 million civil fraud judgment against him.
Wow.
Aw, so sad.
Trump plans to argue in his upcoming porn star hush money trial that he was unaware that his actions were illegal. I did not know bank robbery was illegal.
Uh-huh.
It's a Steve Martin album from the 70s.
I forgot. I forgot armed robbery was illegal.
I forgot bribing porn stars was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Because his lawyers were involved in the process. Trump's attorneys broke the law for him on a regular basis. That's why Michael Cohen went to jail. That's why his accountant is in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's attorneys now plan to argue that he, quote, lacked the requisite intent to commit the conduct charged in the indictment. He didn't mean that he was going to influence the election by keeping the porn star quiet. He just didn't want his wife to know he was fucking a porn star.
That's right. That's the real reason. Come on, Your Honor. Do I look like a guy who would do the one thing? No, I did the other thing.
And therefore, it's tried in the court of public opinion and everything's fine.
Case dismissed, says cartoon judge. a bipartisan panel of three North Carolina judges unanimously ruled that a Republican-led effort to restructure the state's election boards is unconstitutional. So some good news.
President Joe Biden proposed a $7.3 trillion budget for the next fiscal year that would raise taxes on high earners and corporations to keep Social Security and Medicare from hitting insolvency within the next decade. Additionally, the budget calls for restoring the expanded child tax credit, which, you know, lifted 40% of children out of poverty.
Yeah, just like that.
Fully funding nutrition assistance for women, infants, and children through the WIC program, and allowing Medicare to negotiate more aggressively to bring down the cost of prescription drugs. Biden's budget would cut the deficit. This is the part that made me laugh when we were rehearsing.
Yeah.
Biden's budget would cut the deficit by $3 trillion over the next 10 years through changes to the tax code that target the ultra wealthy and cutting wasteful subsidies.
Now, let's turn to his opponent and see how he responds to these same issues. Meanwhile, Trump says that he's open to cutting Social Security and Medicare, even though the entire Congress stood up and said, no, 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 just 1 year ago. In an interview, Trump, when he was asked how he'd resolve the long-term solvency problems of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, said that there was, now hold on, because this sentence is a Trump weird one, quote, a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting, and in terms of also the theft and the bad management of entitlements, tremendous bad management of entitlements. He's a gibbering madman. Biden, being smart, immediately seized on the comments, saying, not on my watch. He later added, quote, many of my Republican friends want to put Social Security and Medicare back on the chopping block again. Many of them are trying to cut Social Security and Medicare or raise the retirement age again. I will stop them. There's your campaign slogan right there. I will stop them.
Meanwhile, top conservative influencer podcasters Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh, who are all over conservative Facebook with their little clips, went on the air to denounce the existence of Social Security. Quote, Social Security, this is Matt Walsh, Social Security is without a doubt, without the shadow of a doubt, an unsustainable, unfair, morally atrocious, and economically insane system that is only defended by both parties because it is politically unpopular to be honest about it, said Matt Walsh. I'm not a politician running for office, so I can be honest about it. The system is a farce, and it should be abolished, obviously. It doesn't mean we should abolish it overnight. It doesn't mean we should leave elderly people high and dry with no safety net. All it means is that the current system is on a is a disaster on every level, and we should be looking for a way out. He's talking about privatizing it.
Yes, this is the George Bush's plan.
Yeah.
Some sharper edges on it, but it's the George Bush plan.
And we promise we will never touch anyone who's currently on Social Security. Right.
Don't vote against us. Don't vote against us, oldsters, because we'll look out for you.
We'll protect you, but anyone younger than 60 is fucked.
Yeah, but your kids and grandkids are screwed. But you don't care about them. Who cares about them? They're kids.
Well, they haven't spoken to you since Trump was elected, so what do you care? Ben Shapiro went so far as to condemn the idea of retirement. No one in the United States should be retiring at 65 years old. Frankly, I think retirement itself is a stupid idea unless you have some sort of health problem. Everybody that I know who is elderly who has retired is dead within 5 years. My dad is 88. He retired from his job teaching art in the University of Pennsylvania system 22 years ago. Mm-hmm. Longer than that. 27 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Shapiro is an asshole.
He's an asshole.
He tells
vicious libertarian assholes what they want to hear. And the subtext of the message is work until you die.
Work until you die because that's what brings value to life.
My mom was a teacher for 40 years. She retired and lived the next 20 years happily in retirement with rewarding occupations and volunteer work and visiting her grandkids and loving her
life.
And
she was busy. I mean, I'm not saying people shouldn't stay busy in retirement. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Doing good for people.
Maybe.
But the idea that you have to work 40 hours a week until you die.
Yeah.
And hope you get 10 days a year for vacation is bullshit, Driftglass. That's just bullshit.
Well, and these guys are terrible people. And we know
they're terrible people.
In local news, a small window into what actual bipartisan governing can look like when you remove the crazy was opened this week when a major initiative of Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, best governor, best state, is one step closer to becoming a reality. The state's Senate Executive Committee unanimously passed legislation creating a new Department of Early Childhood. It would streamline the administration of early childhood education and bring services currently spread across several state agencies under one roof. Right now, many of those services are administered by either the State Department of Human Services, Department of Children and Family Services, or the Illinois State Board of Education. Quote, the whole point of us being here today is to create an early childhood care department that would make it more simple, fairer, and better for all families involved, said State Senate Majority Leader Kimberly Lightford, who's a Democrat from Maywood. Quote, this is a policy that both parties can get behind. It's incredibly important, and statistics and data show that's incredibly important to be investing in early childhood, unquote, said State Senator Sue Retson, a Republican from Morris. Imagine that. Two women, Democrat and Republican, agreeing that children are important enough to do something bipartisan and smart under the leadership of the Democratic governor of Illinois.
And everybody knows that what they're doing is consolidating all of the early childhood services so that they can then launch universal pre-K in Illinois.
Yes.
And the administration of all of that. No, you don't have to be shush because everybody knows that's what the governor said so.
I know.
This is something Pritzker and the governor of Michigan and any of these places that have Democratic trifectas are saying this is a priority. And this is something states have to do. This is not something that the, you know, education department that Republicans want to destroy can tell states to do. States have to raise the money to do it and do it. You know, the federal government can provide some cost sharing, but you've got 14 Republican states that don't want to get lead out of the water.
I know.
They're not going to go for universal pre-K.
No. And I, honestly, it was a coin toss because I had two stories for local news. One was this one. One was J.B. Pritzker's health care reform.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really good and is probably going to pass and it's probably going to become law. But it's sort of plugging holes and making sure people can't be denied coverage and making sure insurance companies can't screw people.
Yeah.
And it's just stuff that everybody wants. And it's really obvious what to do. And again, once you get the crazy out of the way, and frankly, the problem is the entire Republican Party, except for these very, very low level on the ground people who have to fix potholes.
Who are outnumbered. And if they want to come back to their constituents in the farmland and say, look, we did something so we can open up a preschool.
Yeah.
Here in this county where the kids have nothing.
Right.
You know, and we're going to get your water clean.
Yeah.
Honest to God.
And we're going to open a remote healthcare, you know, center.
We're going to urgent care. You're going to have urgent care here in your county.
Yeah. That all sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Oliver. Oliver's gorgeous. And in this picture, he's sitting on what we call at our house, the saggy sofa. It's the back of the sofa where the top pillow is kind of soft.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a 14-pound cat and you sit on it, it sags underneath you and forms to your body.
Oh, it's so
also, it has the advantage of mommy sitting on the sofa there knitting, so you can supervise her at all times.
If you stretch your paw out, you can touch her shoulder. No, she's there.
You can touch her shoulder
and
make sure she's still there. Mm-hmm. You can hear her knitting needles clicking, so you can close your eyes.
That's right.
And Bosco, you know, I'll sit there and knit, and I will count to 12. And Bosco is on that saggy sofa supervising me because he's kind of attached at my hip, I gotta say.
Yeah.
But Oliver is very much on the saggy sofa, and of course, Oliver Eats Freshly Poured Cat Food, our fake sponsor. Don't forget Listen Mommy Cat Treats for the cat mommy who should know that it's long past time to give cats the treats they deserve. Two words in the English language that every cat knows. Listen Mommy. Listen Mommy Cat Treats, another fine fake product from the makers of Freshly Poured Cat Food, our fake sponsor. You can visit Oliver at our Facebook page and website. And you can send your internet kitty, dog, sheep, iguana, fish.
We've had them all.
You name it. Send your pet pictures to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, subject line internet kitty. And that email address is where you can write to both of us, proleftpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to write us. We do love hearing from you. We read all your emails. And be aware that if you write to us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air, unless you say otherwise.
And very importantly, do not forget our gourmet coffee guidelines. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. And you know what? Irish it up a little bit if you feel generous. Would that kill you? I don't think so, because this isn't charity. This is actually our job. And if you can spare $5 a month or a little more, please spare $5 a month a little more at patreon.com/proleftpod. Please share our show on social media. And if you love this podcast, please connive, sneak, and convince someone else to listen. Because once they listen to it, we think they'll like it. And thank you so much for doing that.
Hey, Driftglass, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Well, look out, the internet kitties are big fans of Pi Day, since they too are both irrational and indispensable.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2024-25, GGBG Productions.